In this Sean Speaks episode, I get to speak to you from my heart about an important part of parenting, family life, and a parent's mental health and mindset. I want to help you thrive in how you speak to your kids and how you speak to yourself. Sean Speaks is a live teaching I did with a Zoom room filled with my VIP members. It's interactive, it's spontaneous, it's raw and unedited. If you'd like to go deeper with me, visit my website. Let's talk about like this dynamic, which all relates to that situation. Imagine yourself. Most of us, we don't have to imagine very much, where you ask your child to do something. You ask your child a normal question. You ask them to participate in a chore, do some homework, connect with the family, all this basic stuff, and they don't listen. And then you find yourself, you know, reminding, maybe yelling, maybe nagging. You're getting your buttons pushed. You're feeling unheard. You're feeling disappointed. You're feeling like, what the heck's going on? Why doesn't this kid listen? I mean, it's pretty easy to go back and watch a movie, and in any type of movie, especially with kids like, you know, 12 and under, you see this dynamic of kids do not listen to their parents, and then parents get their buttons pushed, and then they react, and then we go, oh, this kid, ah, this kid. And so I want to give you some thoughts for our mind and for our mouth on what to do in this situation. I want to give you the why and the what's. What to do when you're in a situation where your kid is not listening to you, and what to do about it. Here's a couple of things for the why. I've got four or five reasons why this is happening. And I think it's really important for us to really think about this, because remember, like, parenting is almost never about what it's about. We want to look under the surface. And this applies to whether your child is 19 or 9. It's very consistent to all the stuff that, you know, we've been talking about together in this membership. So why do you feel like you have to ask your child twice to do something or remind them? And this is actually very exciting, that where we're going here is I want to give you the tools you need so that you don't have to ask twice. Like, I hope that this encourages you, that I feel like with my 7-year-old is definitely an exception because she's 7, but she's coming to that age here where the other two are, where I don't feel like I have to ask her twice for very many things at all. And I can have that with my two oldest. It's like, you ask them one time and you can trust it's getting done. So here's a couple things of why. Why is it our kids do not listen to us the first time? Here's a couple things for your consideration. Option number one is that you've trained them. You've trained them. So we're always teaching people how we want to be treated. So you've actually trained them that it's okay to just ignore you. It's okay to just like roll their eyes or just make up excuses for why they're on Fortnite for too long, or Minecraft, or they're just busy doing homeworks. It's like they've tested the waters, and they realized, like, look, all that happens is my mom, you know, bugs me, my dad yells at me, or they don't even say anything. So, you know, they've trained me, like, I don't need to listen to them. I don't need to respond or be responsive to them, because it's just not a big deal. And what happens is, over the years that pass, especially by the teenage years, then our kids are just get very comfortable with this fear cycle of like round and round we go. Well, us as the parents, we're like, oh, this is so painful, because we're just not used to it. That's why we're here. It's not like your kid is going to go talk to a professional right now and be like, yeah, I'm just like really in this dynamic with my parents. Yeah, what's going on? Well, it's like, you know, they'll ask me to do something and I don't really want to do it. And then they nag me and they're reminding me, it's just all so painful. Can you give me the tools on how to stop this? That's not happening anytime soon. Option two of why we get into these situations is, this is, even though I say it's option two, it's really the number one thing. And this is what I want you to train. There's one takeaway from today's opening teaching. This is the number one thing that I want you to realize, that all my years of child psychology and parent coaching, it comes down to this. Why is it you have to ask your kid twice to do something or to connect with you? Is because it's revealing in that moment that there is a lack of connection between you and your child. This is totally normal. Whether your child is 19 or 9, totally normal. If you have young children, which, here's a hack, what you could do is you've got to build that eye contact. It's shocking how much parenting happens in this house, where we do some parenting and there's no eye contact. And big shocker, it doesn't go well. when my wife and I are trying to parent and we're parenting without eye contact, especially for young children and even for teenagers, which is actually all ages now we're talking about. If you just build that connection and get that eye contact, you will see that you often won't have to remind or nag, because the connection, the eye contact builds connection. Here's a third reason why you have to nag or remind is because your child is really not your slave. Now, hear me out for a second. They're not really interested in your clean counters. They don't really care about your dirty laundry. They don't care about their messy room. They don't care about what you care about, and that's okay. They don't want to go to our family dinners. They don't want to hang out with their grandparents. They don't want to like spend time with us. This is normal. Does that make it okay? No, didn't say it's good. This is just normal. They are like, they have their own egos, their own world. And the reason why they don't respond to us when we tell them to do something is because they're just so different than us. So this is the type of self-talk we want to have in these moments. Like, why is my kid responding? Well, option one, it could be a lack of connection. Huh? Yeah, check. All right, option two, I've trained them. They can kind of do me dirty like this. Is that kind of going on? Oh, check. Option three, they're not really into what I'm into right now. Check. See, it's like super common that, like, you know, this is why we breed that, like, this lack of obedience or cooperation. And number four, I think, is kind of connected to the third one, is that your child in that moment is just in a selfish place. I think that this is super, super normal and common. In fact, I think that most of the problems that I have in my marriage with Danielle is that, you know, not all, just many, is like one of us or both of us are in a selfish place. So the reason why your kid, you know, doesn't want to treat their sibling well is because they're just in a really selfish place. They don't care about their sibling's feelings. They don't care about their parents' feelings. The reason why your kid doesn't want to do a certain thing in homework is because they don't care about the homework as much as you do, and they don't care about your feelings and how their lack of homework is going to affect you. They don't care about how, like, you know, them abusing a screen is going to hurt your feelings because they're in a selfish place. Now, am I excusing this? No, I'm just trying to increase our mindfulness about what do we say to ourselves in those moments when they're not listening to us the first time. Remember, all these things can happen within like 2 seconds of mindfulness. You can write it down on your hand. You can write it on your phone. I don't know why I said write it down on your hand. Be like, what is going on? Because what we want to do is choose mindfulness in that situation versus doing our stupid reactions. Because freaking A, man, nobody likes it when our kids are not listening to us. But if we do our reactions, well, then we're participating in this fear child like a child. We're joining in the circus. And like, we already know how that's going to end. It's just not going to end well. Then your kid is going to say all X, Y, and Z because, you know, you went to crazy town. So here's what to do about it. All right. So, all right. What do we do when our child does not listen to us the first time? And if you're just coming in now, welcome. That's the goal of this membership, about what's happening between me and you. I want you to build such a dynamic with your kids so that most of the time they respond to you the first time. Why did I say most? Because they're not our robots. We already talked about that. They're not our servants. We don't want that. And they don't want that. It's never going to happen. Like, I don't even want that. I don't even want that with my wife. You think I want that with my wife? My wife tells me one thing to do and I respond right away to that. No, what I will need to do is respond without react. Respond like, hey, I love you, honey. I don't really want to do that right now. Or can I do that later? So here's what we can do about it. And this is the part we really want to really focus on. One is, if the problem is a lack of connection, well, then wouldn't that be the answer to this? Absolutely. Remember, connection first. If the reason why your child is not doing well with the garbage can or cleaning up the dog poop, it just reveals a lack of connection. They're not as connected to the things that we want them to be connected to, like the health of the dog or the teamwork of the family or their emotional regulation. So this is why so many of these heart talks solve problems, because on the surface it's a heart talk where you're sharing feelings and you're processing, but really what's going on is you're building intimacy and connection with your challenging child who doesn't really want to connect with you. They want to connect with other things, and these other things are probably good on the surface. Video games are kind of good. I loved them as a kid. We have some here. Sports is good. Being by yourself is good. having a strong, powerful voice. Those are good. But where they're not good is when they move into a place of selfishness and they're more connected to those things than they are to their family. What to do about it? Number two. So the first one is build connection. I give lots of tips and tools, and I can do that today. If you'd like, how do I build connection with my child in this moment or in that moment or in a child who doesn't want to connect with me? I give you lots of tips and tools. Number two, what do we do about it when our kid is not listening to us the first time? Patience. Patience. Choose patience. And choose patience over aggression and over avoidance. Choose patience over aggression and avoidance. I think all of us are going to be forced to make a decision in those sticky moments. Our kid doesn't listen to us the first time. What are we going to do? We're going to get aggressive, nag, yell, remind, hound, threaten, punish, blah, 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 annoying, annoying, annoying. Or avoidance, right? People pleasing, rescuing. Oh, this kid, I can't even do it. I'm just going to do it myself. I'm going to clean the dog poop myself. I don't even want to do it. Fine, fine. Yes, you can go. Just stop. Just stop, right? That caving. Patience is neither of those. Patience is, look, I'm trying to connect with you about something, and I'll just wait. I'll wait. And that might mean just waiting and staring them down like some type of psychopath. I do that sometimes. I'm just going to wait. Or if you just change your look a little bit, like, you know, just wait with a smile on your face. That's probably a better way of waiting. Or just being patient. Say, hey, sounds like you don't want to connect on this topic, so let me know when you're ready. And they're just waiting. And I can give you lots of tools on how to wait properly and being patient. And what do we do about it? In conclusion, as we wrap up this opening teaching, is things you've heard me teach a lot on, is we humanize ourselves. This is pretty profound if you think about this. Right now, some of you have some pretty serious problems in your home. And remember, it's not about what it's about. It's not about their anger. It's not about their avoidance, their screen addiction, they're lashing out, their sibling, their school refusal. It's going deeper. It's about they're not connected to the things we want them to connect to or the people we want them to connect to. They're not connected to even their own emotions, their own mindfulness. And it just reveals many, it could reveal, it normally does, they're in a selfish place in their life. They're kids. I don't blame them. They came out of the womb bursting in selfishness. They cried and everyone took care of them. That's the way it was supposed to be. But now they're moving in they're 5, they're 6, they're 7, they're 10, they're 15, they're 18. Selfishness is not working in a family anymore. So how do we do that? Well, we humanize ourselves in a healthy way. In a healthy way. We don't, you know, manipulate our kids or yell at them or force them to feel what we feel or get weird with our words. Part of why the Heart Talk is so powerful is because it's a healthy way of humanizing ourselves. Like, I'm feeling, you know, really shut out here. I'm feeling confused. I'm feeling really hurt about what's going on. And it just helps them then, that humanization helps to build that connection and invites them into that connection. And where it gets really prickly is that some of our kids, even when we do humanize ourselves, then they still then have a hard time connecting with us. And we're going to be patient with those kids. And if that's your situation, like I know Brittany, she's still pretty new. She's got one of those situations. Just, I've got good news for you. There's tools for that. There's tools. And it's not our reactive tools. And there's really good tools of how to be patient and work with a kid who has a hard time connecting or reconnecting in that moment. Parents, thank you for letting me be a positive voice in your life. I love you and I love your family. If you're sick and tired of those same painful patterns in your parenting or the same painful bad behaviors in your kids, then what are you waiting for? Join me in my VIP membership. I'd love to speak with you and give you the specific tools that you need.